It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Spirited first 40 minutes of the show coming out of the governor's debate. And we still got a lot to talk about. I'm telling you, I talked to Carlos Correa, talked to Jorge Lopez today, wanted to figure out what they had to say, talked to Rocco Baldelli today. I talked to Joe Ryan today. So I'll bring you some of that as well. Vinny Shahid, he could play. Oh, man, this kid could play basketball. Still can. Hopkins High School. And it's kind of interesting because when you have an alumni base like Hopkins, you can throw one heck of a basketball camp because you got like guys that played in the NBA and are playing in the NBA. You know, a plethora of people that played Division I and scholarship basketball at minimum. And Vinny's one of those. And they've got this camp going on with all these people. And Coach Novak runs it. And Ryan Saunders was, you know, assistant coach in the NBA, was in teaching them yesterday. And it's just an interesting follow to see the number of kids that have showed up to help teach at this camp. Vinny joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. V, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. Tell me what it means to be a Hopkins basketball player, that you guys come back like this and have a camp like this.
You know, it means the world. You know, the biggest thing that we try to do is, you know, there's a culture over at Hopkins, and the biggest thing we try to do is just keep the culture alive. And any way we can do that, we try to do it. And this camp is a big, big opportunity for us to spread our culture and kind of just keep that culture alive over at Hopkins. And so, it's an honor. It's a blessing to be able to be a part of the Hopkins program.
Tell me what the kids need to learn the most when they get to your camp. Well, when you see kids, raw skills, they're young, they're coming, what is the skill that they need the most work in, and where do you guys start?
Usually we just kind of start with trying to just tell them and try to help them to understand that two things. One, that they got to be coachable. And, you know, that they'll never be any good or never be able to play any high-level basketball if they're not coachable, or if they don't want to listen to what older guys or Coach Novak has to say. And two, we kind of just try to get them to understand that basketball is a team game. You know, there's going to be five guys on the court. Usually when you're going to Hopkins or playing at Hopkins, there's usually going to be five guys on the court that are willing and capable to do the same thing. Now, usually what makes those Hopkins teams really good is when you have five guys on the court and they're all really unselfish. And so those have been the two big things that we try to get the young kids to understand at a younger age, and kind of try to voice it at the camp this week.
What's the upside and the downside to playing AAU basketball in the summer?
Oh, man, you know, right now there's really a lot of upside. I mean, upside I see are you get to get seen by college coaches. You get to see competition all over the United States. You get to travel and experience other different cities and different states in the U.S. I don't really see too many downsides with AAU basketball, honestly. I'm very high on AAU basketball.
What should kids look for when they decide what AAU team to play on? Is it, you know, you hear a lot about like roster size. Make sure there's not more than eight kids on your team, or you're going to end up in a rotation. Or you know, is it equal playing time versus is it a dad coaching, or is it someone that has a background? What do they need to look out for?
Yeah, you know, when I was picking AAU teams, I tried to find, you know, a program that fit. Not only the type of basketball player I was, but the person that I was as well. And so, like, for me, when I was looking to pick AAU, I wanted to be on a team that was going to give me an opportunity to play, but also give me an opportunity to be myself a little bit and show my personality and my character, because a lot of kids don't understand that those are the things that kind of get you recruited. You know, when a coach comes to see you play, nine times out of ten, they already know you can play. And the reason they're coming to watch you is to see some of those other things. And so Really, I would just say any team that kids can get opportunity on and be able to showcase their talent would be a good fit for any kid.
Let's be honest, though, V, you had them lined up at your doorstep. They're recruiting you to play. Come on now. Truth be told, man, you were one that was sought after.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. I was a late bloomer myself, so I always try to tell kids, you know, try not to worry about, you know, the rankings or what's going on when you're young, and kind of just try to focus on getting better each and every day. And, you know, eventually when you look up, you'll be surprised with what you come up with.
Very true, because it's amazing how growth spurts, and not just, you know, people think of it as just size, Vinny, but if you watch these kids closely as they move up, some of them lose their foot speed. You know, they were we think, well, he was one of the tallest, and he's not anymore because he stopped growing. He's 6 feet. That's part of it. But the other piece to it is some kids get slower as they get older, or at least slower relative to the competition, and all of a sudden a kid can go right by them.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I just tell kids, you know, don't worry about where you are right now, whether you're ranked the best kid in the state or the worst kid in the state. Just keep working, because with consistency and work, you know, anything is possible.
Now, what did Ryan Saunders teach him there? I heard he was out there as your guest lecturer.
Yeah, he was out there, man. I appreciate Ryan a lot. You know, Ryan came out there and he kind of told the guys, you know, what it takes to get to the highest level. He tried to kind of get them to understand that, you know, just 1 hour of practice with your team isn't enough a day. You know, you got to go home and go on yourself and do things by yourself and do a lot of extra work in order to get to where you want to be. And that's with everything. You know, that's with school. That's with whatever job you want to pursue. That's with basketball. You know, and if there's something that you want to do, you know, just doing it 1 hour or doing it 2 hours a day isn't going to be enough. You know, you got to be willing to put the extra foot and the extra work in. And, you know, Ryan did a really good job of also not just telling them that, but also showing them, you know, some examples of what they could do at home, or, you know, some easy basic drills that, you know, the kids could do on their own. So I really appreciate Ryan. You know, he did a really good job of talking to the kids and participating in our camp on the first day. So Ryan did a great job.
And you got a first-round draft pick, Zeke Nnaji, giving some instruction as well, huh?
Of course. You know, we've had a couple guys pop in this week. You know, we've had Amir Coffey pop in. We've had Zeke Nnaji pop in. You know, Siani Chambers has been with us all week. Ishmael Alamin has been with us all week. And Xavier Johnson. You know, I can go down the list. And there's been a
That's quite a list. Throw Royce White in as another alum that was taken in the first round, you know?
Yeah, you can throw a lot of names in there. You know what I'm saying? I probably forgot a couple of names, like you said. But, you know, I think every coach that we've had come in, you know, whether they've been in for 1 hour or all 3 days, they've done a really great job of working with the kids and getting them to understand, you know, the game of basketball a little more.
When you need work on just the free throw expertise, call me, okay? That's my specialty, okay? Underhand, blindfolded, anything you want, I'll teach them, okay?
You toss it up there and it's going through the net.
It's going through. That's all I'm going to tell you. What method I use may vary, but it's going through the net. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. As long as it goes through the net, my guy.
V-Man, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet. Vinny Shahid, great player at Hopkins. You can keep the phone calls and the texts coming. Who did you think won the debate? And is government doing too much or not enough in your life? 651-461-9226. And then we also visited a little bit about parking in Minneapolis and why would you extend the hours for what you charge people for the meters? And also put them at risk when they go to these stations where they pay, where at night they'd have to pull out their credit card and their wallet and concentrate on that while other people are just watching them. You know what I'm saying? You hearing me on this? Do you get it? Do you follow me? How does that build a vibrant and safe downtown? How does that work? That you're safer to have people walk to, because you walk to the middle of the block to pay for your meter. And you either have to insert coins or a credit card. And now you have to do that from 6 to 10 at night, too, until 10 o'clock they allow for that. And so you're going to have people, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. 651-461-9226. Twins Talk and much more straight ahead as well. Stay with us. All right, we're taking your phone calls on the governor's debate and downtown Minneapolis. Does it make you feel better that they're now charging more money between 6 and 10 at the meters and they used to just give it free parking? Does that make you want to come down more or less? Because do you think long-term, and hey, if I pay money here, eventually we'll get better service in downtown Minneapolis and we'll be able to do some things. So I want to pay to park at the meter between 6 and 10, or do you look at that as another overreach where they go, okay, they haven't been able to figure out how to make money, so instead of being creative, they're just going to come take it from me. And they really don't want people to come to downtown Minneapolis because if they did, they wouldn't do that. And it's at risk because you got to plug a meter at the state pay station right in the end, and you got to do that now at 8 o'clock at night, and people can be watching you. Maybe that's appealing to some of you. I don't know. Maybe you think it's a great remedy because it will get the economy, and it'll be a catalyst to the economy in downtown Minneapolis. I don't know. I just know it strikes me as being greedy and arrogant to do that to people. That's the way it strikes me. Maybe most of you are fine with that. I don't know. 651-461-9226. See who's got some stones out there. Twins won the day, the series, and were impressive at doing it 4-1. Just 2 hours and 40 minutes is all it took. Jorge Lopez was a part of it. And Sandy Leon had a big double, his first at bat, to give him a 2-0 lead. Does he look like a journeyman veteran catcher, man? When you see him, he looks grizzled and, you know, give me the gear and let's go play. Met him today. Jorge Lopez looked good in the 9th inning. They had some things happen that went well for him. Carlos Correa is a guy that I like to turn to because he's a leader in the clubhouse. He's won before. And he knows, you know, what the temperament needs to be here in the last couple months of the season if you're going to survive and win the division. Of course, they got a 4-game series coming up with a pretty good Toronto team that starts tomorrow night right here in WCCO. So after the game in the clubhouse, that's what we call it, not a locker room for Major League Baseball. It's called a clubhouse. I went over to say, Carlos, can you give me a minute? And what I meant when I said, can you give me a minute, was, can you give me 3 minutes or so? Because when I say, can you give me a minute, that always means that once you allow me into your world, I'm probably going to go over the limits that you've offered me. But I find him to be insightful and interesting to talk to, and I find him to be a voice of leadership in the corner of the clubhouse. So after the game today and after the win, I had a chance to visit with Carlos Correa. Carlos, you've been in this league long enough to know new players, new acquisitions for pennant races are exciting. What is it like to see these new bodies, these new faces, some that you're familiar with?
It's great. I'm a happy man. The transitions we made were necessary and they were perfect. You know, having Sandy here, a veteran voice, a veteran catch has been around this one before. And then adding great arms like Lopez, Fulmer, and Mally, it just gives us a huge boost. And I couldn't be more excited for what's to come with this new group, you know. But at the same time, you know, I'm happy because, you know, today 3-1, then 4-1, and you felt good about that lead. You know what I mean? And that's always a great feeling.
Describe Lopez, the closer, from a hitter standpoint. What do you see?
He's a tough at bat, man. He's got a nasty sinker, nasty breaking balls. He knows how to pitch. He hits the spots, and you know that's as perfect of a closer as you can get. So you know, he's an all-star. He's been having a great year. And now he's a Minnesota Twin, man. It's exciting times.
You were a newcomer here just a few months ago. What's it like to be a newcomer to a team and to this team, knowing what you know?
There are teams where it's tough when you come in as a new player, and there are teams that make that transition a lot easier. For me, this was such an easy transition. You know, throughout the offseason, I worried about going into a clubhouse that it was going to be tough to blend in and then be part of the family right away. And when I got here, I just felt like I've been part of this team for a long time, and I'm sure that's how they feel right now. Lopez looks super loose. Fulmer looks super loose around the clubhouse, and you know, it's just a great atmosphere here. It's a family atmosphere, and I'm sure they will love it.
here comes Toronto right around the corner, another good baseball team, and you're playing significant games. But the Blue Jays and the Twins for four just set the stage for that one.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great series. You saw the great series we had against them in Toronto. Now we get four games against them. They've been playing really good baseball lately, and you know, we were excited. We feel like we have a team that can compete against anyone, and that will be a good test starting tomorrow.
You're playing in these games, you've done this a long time. Every game significant down the stretch. You've been down the stretch before. What is it like as a baseball player?
It's fun. You know, you don't want to play in August, September baseball and have already your vacation set up. You don't want to be able to compete every single day, to feel like every at bat, every game, every inning is meaningful, and that's how we feel right now. We have a very exciting clubhouse. A lot of young players mixed in with some veterans, and I'm very positive and confident in the group we have here.
That is Carlos Correa. I feel him apropos to speak on behalf of the team because he's been there, done that before, and he's I like interviewing him. I find him to be locked in when you interview him. He makes eye contact with you. He listens to the questions, those kinds of things. So I'd never met Jorge Lopez before. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd never met Jorge Lopez in my life until today. And obviously, it's easy to get excited for just one inning of work, and you have to temper that some. But he made it look so easy. To me, it looked like Joe Nathan out there. The release looked easy. The ball moved. It had tail to it. It had spin. It had velo. It had all those things. Now, that's, you know, small sample size, right? But he's an all-star this year. And I got to tell you, he was downright giddy to an extent after the game, as he put into words what it meant to be a Minnesota Twin now and what it meant to be contending for a division title. Here now, probably for most of you, the first interview you've ever heard was the Twins' Jorge Lopez.
How does it feel to be a Minnesota Twin?
Fun part, man. There's a time where, you know, just even think about it, to be here, you know, being the last time, last spot to be first, just fun. Just really fun to watch this guy daily. So I love it.
What was it like today to go out there and have a nice clean inning?
I love it, man. You know, just something you work for every day, you know, and you do it with competing every day, you know, and that's the type I do. So I love to go out there and be quick, you know. If it's not, we battle. So we had a chance to get our first one, so tomorrow is another one.
What's the mindset of a closer? What do you got to be a great closer in the ninth inning?
Man, it just been hard work, you know. It's first year to just keep doing it, and you know, just trust the process, and just love to be here, man.
There you go. I don't know that for sure because I didn't hear the pregame show. Did you, Tubbsy? I think it was the first one-on-one interview with Jorge Lopez in this market. I don't know that, though. Do you know if they had him on during the pregame?
I do not know. I did not catch the pregame today.
I didn't either. I caught much of the game on the radio.
Yes, as did I.
But I didn't catch the pregame part of it. So I don't want to make a false claim is what I'm saying, okay? If people have heard Jorge Lopez before and all of a sudden I'm making it look like you've never heard him before, maybe they have.
That's like saying you're first on the message board and then you look up and somebody beat you by like a second or
something. Yeah, and if they beat you by a second or they beat you by a day, it doesn't matter, right?
No, you still got beat. But one guy that didn't get beat was Jorge Lopez. Looked good.
Fun to watch.
Oh, man. He talked about being excited about, you know, a clean in.
You
think you're excited? I mean, Twins fans, what have we been dealing with all year? It's like... Yeah. Is this what it's like? A 7-pitch clean inning? I mean, I didn't know what to do with myself, Maxie. I'm like, what is this weird feeling of joy I have at the end of a game? I'm not used to this, but
you
like
know,
it.
You know who's not in joy when that happens?
Who's that?
Like today, Jason DeRussia.
Ooh.
Or me, because you know, you kind of mentally you're thinking, okay, the game's gonna go.
You want extra innings.
Yeah, it's gonna go. By the time they get done, it could be a 4-hour game, goes to four, post game 4:40. Then I pick it up there. Not today.
No.
3:15, you were answering the bell. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
And it's a little inside radio talk, but you do pay attention to that when you're doing a show.
it sucks.
And the Cookie Monster is producing it, and he's going, do I book a guest for starting at 3:30 or not? Right?
And that's the thing, because if you go late, you're like, okay, well, you know, you literally have to change things as you go. Like an extra, okay, well, we got to push this person. We got to do this. Okay, can they do this? Can they do this? And then there's like a domino effect. But, you know, hosts love, you get paid for 3 hours.
Right,
but you do a 15-minute show.
Right, and it happens to me. I get preempted a lot, and but you know, I mean, I'm negotiated as such too. It's not like it's not like I'm beating the system. You know
what?
But
I want to get that. I've been trying to cheat the system for years, Maxie, and I'm still trying to figure it out.
It's like the meters. You're never going to beat the
system.
That's right. It's like when you go gamble. I say, oh, that's fine. You go gamble, Tubbsy. I'm just telling you right now. You're never the system. Well, always wins.
Okay.
No ticket yet? Okay.
I'm clear.
Yeah.
I got to reload the app.
Yeah, oh, make sure you reload the app.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, the app, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it matters because you're going to pay $12 to park downtown Minneapolis, to park in the suburbs.
I still pay on the app.
You still pay on the app. It's not free because you use the app. That's what I'm saying.
No, believe me, my debit, my bank account sees it every day.
It ain't free. Yeah, let's take a break, come back, Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. Feel the rhythm. The vibe.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for letting me know.
The Twins take on Toronto tomorrow night right here, 6 o'clock pregame, 6:40 the first pitch. And they'll do battle with the Blue Jays throughout the weekend as well. They'll honor Jim Cott and Tony Oliva as well this weekend. All part of the festivities coming up at Target Field. Joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Baker Hotline, Tim Litvin, community in the heart of the community of Minnetonka. He runs their services, and he does a great job, and he got them through COVID and everything else. But back, because of that, is one of the most popular bike races in the state of Minnesota this Saturday, the Tour de Tonka. It's amazing. I don't know how you even begin to organize this thing. I'll ask Tim. Tim, how do you organize the Tour de Tonka and get permission and get, you know, you got all these routes going and you know, you're crossing over highways and roads. And I look at this and I say, this is a monumental task. And there's signs and there's people out there and there's police officers that have to know. How on earth do you even begin and end with that, with all the different permits? I don't even know what you have to do to get this done.
Hey, Mike, Max, good evening, and thanks for having me on, and congrats on a great show. You only need one permit, and you do it well. So you're permitted to be the best radio guy in America. Congrats on that. With Tour de Tonka, it started out in 2006. I think we needed two permits, and that was it, and nobody even questioned it. Well, that changed quickly, and so I don't know how many permits we need today. It might be 40, but we're in four counties with parts of Tour de Tonka, and we cover almost 300 miles worth of roadway and trailway, and it is a monumental lift. You are right, but it is so much worth it. It is, you know, late summer is so fun in Minnesota. Got all this cool stuff going on. I'm a high school football junkie like you are.
Yeah.
State Fair. And Tour de Tonka lives in that environment. Yeah. And it is so fun when you have riders and volunteers excited about it, coming from all over the country. It's just a hoot to be in the middle of it. It's a lot to stir the pot, but we have great staff in community education. We have great volunteers, 600 make it happen. And then that's really it. It's a showcase of this community. And riders love seeing this western suburb area, and they brag about it. And we organize it to the hilt because we don't want people to feel like it's less than. They're the heroes. The riders are the heroes, and we want to make them feel that way. And so we roll out the red carpet, or in our case, in Minnetonka, the blue carpet.
The blue carpet, and the skipper carpet, absolutely. So do you, now, if I was running this event like you do, I would be worried that somebody's going to fall and scrape their elbow, or somebody's going to have a heart attack when they're out riding. And I know that that's the, if you're going to have a quality of life, you have to have events like this. But I'm just saying, if I was you, those would be the thoughts that would go through my mind. How do you alleviate those and know that the greater good is a great event?
Well, partnerships are huge. You mentioned how do you do it? Well, we got partnerships with cities, with counties, with police departments, with sheriff's office, and those things make it happen. And, you know, we got ambulances on call. We've got medics around. And so those things are going to happen. People are going to fall off their bikes. That's inevitable. And we just hope to minimize that damage to themselves and to their bicycle. We've got just a great, you know, workings of what this event is. We know it. This is our 17th year. And so we know what things are going to happen. And when people fall down, I'll tell you, here's a classic example. One gentleman rubbed into another guy's bike about 5-6 years ago. They both went down. One guy broke his shoulder. Okay, so I got called about it, and I thought, oh, my gosh, where is he? He's in Waconia Hospital. So I'm in Mound. I go over there quick, and I walk into the emergency room, and here's this guy in his bed in the emergency room. And I said, oh, I didn't know his name. I didn't know who he was. I said, I am so, so sorry. How are you? And he said, ah, I'll be fine. He says, what a great event you've got there. 2 o'clock. Oh, my God, it's fine. I said, well, how about you? He says, I got a broken arm. I'll be fine. He said, we just love this event of yours. That's it. I mean, positivity rings through in our volunteers, in our riders, and it's amazing. They're really a pretty fun group. You get to see it firsthand, Mike.
Oh, I'm my so gosh. The energy. I love it. I love it because you have to do this if you're going to have quality of life. You have to have events. You have to have people get excited. You have to have places where they can go and get energized and not just have it drained for them. And Tour de Tonka does that as well as any event that we have in this area. And it's a credit to you and your staff for putting that on. What does it feel like when you accomplish that and you get it all done?
You're glad that no one got injured. You're glad that you made it through without, you know, anything happening. Could be car accidents nearby, too. Anything could go wrong. And so there's going to be skinned knees. There's going to be flat tires galore. And we accept that. We deal with it. But how it feels? It feels great. Because Sunday morning when I wake up, it's like, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Even though I'll go
it
to
was
bed,
all worth it at the end of the day, huh?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's July and June and July are grinds. We've got tons of great Minnetonka community education programming, and then we do these big events. Like we got a youth triathlon, we got a big run on the 4th of July in Excelsior, and then we got this, we got a mud run. These are big things that most community ed programs don't have. And we've got all the other good stuff as well that other community ed programs thankfully have. But we work hard, and we get it done, and we're quite pleased with what we do for our communities. And that's the community, I mean, expanded.
For sure. Now, what would you tell community ed directors if they said, you know, obviously you've done it at a level that most will never do it at, but everybody has these opportunities. And I understand different communities have different resources and all those things. But if you were to say to somebody that's going to become a community education director, your goal should be, fill in the blank, what should it be when you leave here? What should you have accomplished?
Exceed community expectations. That's what you want to do. You don't want to just meet the need or think that you know the need. You got to have your ear to the ground and listen, but then you also have to be proactive with what if. You've got to keep asking what if. And it might mean, yeah, it's going to be 3 nights this week and 4 Saturdays in a row and then 2 Sundays after that. It doesn't matter as long as you're exceeding that community need. And if they respond, and Tour de Tonka is something that, thankfully, people respond to.
And I got to tell you, coming with COVID and everything else we've gone through, what does it mean? You know, you had to program through that in different ways. What does it mean to be able to lift that lid again and have, you know, consistent programming the way you'd like to have it?
Well, in this past year, that the books just closed on June 30th for 2021-22, and we had the biggest participation year ever.
Really?
In the context of community education.
It tells you something.
Tells you something, they're ready to roll, man. And if you're not there for them, that's not good. And the other thing is marketing. We've got a great marketing machine, and a lot of that's a good thing for people to say, yeah, we'll save money. We aren't going to do that this year. Well, that's a mistake. You got to keep pushing the wheels and market, and tell a good story. We got so many good stories and so many good people participating. That's the fun of it. A guy from Arizona, every year he comes in. And he tells me when he comes, he says, I'm here. This is my family reunion with my daughter. We both come here and ride. Nice. She lives in New York. Well, how cool is that?
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that because you got a garage sale down your street.
No.
You know, this, you got to bring, it just got to be fun for people. And that's it. Keep it fun. Keep it happy. And it's got to be an achievement. You know, these are achievements too. Riding 100 miles, riding 16 miles if you've never ridden a bike. Good for you. 91-year-old man
feel good. Yep.
Goes 16 miles.
Yep.
Pretty cool. You know, 4-year-old kid goes 16 miles last year. Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, celebrate the good things in life.
All right, bud. I will see you there on Saturday morning. I get to kick it off and say, time now to Tour de Tonk or something like that. You've got the script for me. But I will see you there Saturday morning, and I look forward to it. Just make sure you get a jumbo cup of coffee for me, okay?
We'll do it, Mike. Thank you. You're the best.
I appreciate it. Tim Litvin, one of the outstanding community ed directors ever in the state of Minnesota with what he's done in Minnetonka, and the Tour de Tonk is an extension of that. And here's why he's really good. Here's why he's really good. Because he doesn't look at the calendar and say, well, I want to be off on this Saturday, even though that's the perfect Saturday to have an event. We're not going to do it because I want to take that day off. He says, what is it I need to do to meet the needs of the community? And I don't care when it is that I have to do it. I'm showing up for it because it's more important than me and my schedule that I serve the community that I live in. In other words, he ain't lazy. He's working his ass off to get it done. And let me tell you, this country could use a dose of Tim Litvin's right now. Take a break, come back. Welcome back, Sports to the Max, taking you up to Henry Lake, Lake at Night, here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Oh, boy. Good content tonight again, Tubbsy.
That's what happens when you do one show a week.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Well, I did two because I did Sunday morning, too.
Yeah, I guess it counts.
Well, why wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about, like, this time slot.
Yeah, but, I mean, I had to prepare the same way, get guests, you know, all that.
Well, that's true. I mean, but no. I'm thinking about the work that you and I do together.
Yeah, yes, yeah, so one time.
I don't like to think about you being with other people, okay?
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
But I do that one from home usually, so it's not, you know.
That doesn't make me feel any better.
Charlie, I text. I say, Charlie, here's, I text him the phone number. You know, I got to tell you, Dubsy.
Yeah.
And this is room for pause for all of us. Think of how much easier, though, our lives have become. I mean, compared to when, like for example, when I started doing this show in 1998, mm-hmm. right? I had to sit and call people from an office and hope they were there or leave them a message on their voicemail and mm-hmm. hope they'd come get back to me to get a guest. Now I can text them, I can call them, I can do whatever I want. Then if they commit to it, I can write it into an email, send it over to you. I don't have to call you and say, here's the people, blah, 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 yeah. blah, blah. And I can do that in about, you know, an hour if it's a good day, you know? I mean, think about it. Sometimes we think about what we don't have, but my gosh, we've got some things that have changed for the better in this game, don't we?
Yeah.
And in fact, I mean, through COVID, we all got these home studios, you know? So we're not, and I can take that home studio on the road with me if I want. If I'm on vacation, you'll never know because I can just plug in, you know?
Yeah. I think that's the amazing thing of it. You know, you're talking about the ease in which you can, you know, communicate with guests and, you know, get that over to me or to Charlie yeah. or whoever. But yeah, the fact that people have Comrexes, access, you know, it's a little bit inside baseball. It's basically yeah. the unit that you have that you take from home. You know, Chad was doing it. Lake is doing it. You were doing it. Paul
Hepler,
and
Jordan. I don't know if Hepler did. He did a lot.
Hepler did it a lot. But I guess at the end of the day, we've got that. But then Steve Thompson also uses something different, you know, a different software. And Shaletti uses it. And when I've, you know, filled in periodically, you know, I've done it as well. But
the point being, life has just gotten easier.
Yeah, oh,
and
absolutely.
Sometimes we don't appreciate yeah. that because we think about what we don't have.
Yeah.
Instead of, boy, you know, if somebody would have told me that I would have this, you know, at my fingertips, you know, mm-hmm. years ago, I'd have said, huh. Sign me up. Life
well,
couldn't
be
any better.
We had to adapt, though. It's like if we didn't adapt, we didn't figure it out.
There used to be a picture.
Wasn't going
to
get done.
On Flip Saunders' wall, I swear it, as I speak, in his coaching office over at the Target Center, mm-hmm. and it was a picture of a dinosaur, and underneath it, it said, adapt or die.
And that's just it. And I guess I will say that in that respect, the pandemic, just over the
helped
last couple
us. Years. I mean, that's an area that helped us.
Yeah.
I don't mean it helped us. I mean, there were positives that came out of it that we benefited
but
from.
But it forced you to get out of your comfort zone in order to do your job.
Say crisis is the greatest catalyst of creativity. Mm-hmm. I just made that up, but I might have heard it somewhere.
You might have heard it. So you're plagiarizing, but you don't know who. But if you say
so
you did
it. It's not true plagiarism if you think it was your own thought, right?
You don't recall where you found it. You don't recall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's, what did I say again? Crisis is what?
Mm-hmm.
Crisis is the catalyst
for
creativity.
Creativity.
Yep, it's the three C's.
Yeah, C.
So I can remember that.
Crisis.
Let's work that into the opener, some of the teases, okay?
I can't even remember what you said. What did you say?
Crisis
creates
controversy. Crisis is the catalyst
crisis
for creativity.
You realize I'm not going to remember that in.
No, write it down. You got it.
Okay, what is it?
Crisis.
Crisis, yeah, I already screwed.
It's the catalyst.
It's catalyst.
For creativity.
For creativity.
Okay.
I can't even read what I wrote.
I want you to send that to whoever our management is and see if we can use it somewhere as a slogan on our line. You know, like we go to our webpage and stuff, whatever it is.
But put a trademark on that, though.
Yeah, tell them I thought of it, but just say they can use it.
There you go.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.